And welcome back to Cool Science Radio. I'm John Wells here with Linware Peak. Our next guest, Dr. Michael Selsted. He's the Chief Science Officer for Orin Therapeutics and the Professor and Chair of the Department of Pathology at the Keck School of Medicine, USC. 17.6 million people worldwide suffer from RA, also known as rheumatoid arthritis. Orin has drug therapies and preclinical testing that induce remission of RA, where current treatments on the market merely dial down the symptoms. They also have products and preclinical testing that reverse severe sepsis, and we'll be talking about what sepsis is, which is often fatal despite aggressive treatment. Dr. Selsted, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. We've really been looking forward to this conversation. You are named on 28 U.S. patents, and you're widely known for your research in immunology and co-discoverer of host defense peptides called defensins. What are defensins, and how did you discover them?
Defensins are small proteins, also known as peptides, that we discovered back in the early 80s, as we were trying to understand the antimicrobial effector molecules that are packaged in white blood cells that are particularly important in fighting infections. We found them in host defense cells, macrophages and neutrophils, which are specialized white blood cells that phagocytose or ingest microorganisms and kill them. And in the process of trying to determine how those white blood cells carry out that function, we discovered these small defensin peptides and learned that they are highly conserved among vertebrate species, and their antimicrobial properties extend to other activities that I think we'll probably talk about today.
Yeah, and I may get this wrong, but I'll take a shot at it and you can correct me. About 40 million years ago, New World primates and Old World primates, they branched. And as the Old World evolved, some of the Old World primates, like baboons and mandrills, you found were highly resistant to sepsis and autoimmune disease because their bodies produce theta defensins, what you were just speaking about. And then some great apes of the Old World, like chimpanzees and humans, somehow in the mystery of evolution, their theta defensins dropped off. And humans and chimps are now susceptible to autoimmune diseases and sepsis. Is that the gist of it?
You've got it right. So in our process, in our investigation into the species that produce defensins, and I should mention that there are three different structural classes that are known as alpha, beta, and theta. Alpha and beta defensins are widely expressed in mammals, including mice and rats, and we were very interested in understanding the relationship between non-human primates and used an old world monkey as our model, the rhesus macaque. And that old world species produced theta defensins, whereas humans, and as you mentioned, great apes do not. And so the old world species, as you mentioned, such as the baboon, the macaque, express these theta defensins, which are unique relative to, in fact, all other known proteins in the animal kingdom, in that they are cyclic. They are backbone cyclized. And that feature really intrigued us. And it turns out that though these cyclic theta defensins have unique properties that we believe contribute to the resistance of old world monkeys to bacterial sepsis, and conceivably are also underlie their resistance to a variety of autoimmune diseases.
Dr. Selsted, you know, it's fascinating now in our diets. We talk so much about foods that are inflammatory, and inflammation, you know, they're talking about is sort of the root of all disease. It sounds like your work focused on the inflammatory processes of something like rheumatoid arthritis and then infectious diseases like sepsis. How far-reaching has the research gone in terms of, you know, finding out what else these old world primates had a natural defense to?
Yeah, I agree very much with the underlying role of inflammation in disease. The chronically elevated inflammatory state that exists in a variety of diseases, including diabetes, obvious examples such as rheumatoid arthritis, psoriasis. These are dysregulated processes which cause the host, the human, to react inappropriately to its own tissues. And there's a clear gradient between the need of the organism to respond to a microorganism that could cause disease if it went unchecked. And in the case of sepsis, which really was the first model we began evaluating efficacy of theta defensins, we discovered that using these cyclic molecules in a therapeutic preclinical model would suppress this dysregulated inflammation in the setting of sepsis. And in that the analysis of the response in mice to experimental sepsis, we discovered that these molecules were inhibiting pro-inflammatory pathways that are dysregulated in sepsis, and they are very much overlapping with the dysregulated responses that one sees in a disease such as rheumatoid arthritis.
Fascinating. Can we go back to Biology 101 for just a moment?
Sure.
You've talked about proteins and peptides and then theta defensins, which they're not synonymous, but they all have similarities. But what's the difference between a protein and a peptide?
It's really an issue of categorizing All proteins and peptides are made of a string of amino acids, typically proteins that are the size of a hormone protein like insulin are considered peptides. They're all polypeptides, simply chains of amino acids. Very small proteins are typically referred to as peptides.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're having a conversation with Dr. Michael Selsted. He is the Chief Science Officer for Orin Therapeutics in California, and he's the Professor and Chair of the Department of Pathology at the Keck School of Medicine, USC. Dr. Selsted, when the New World primates branched, or when the Old World primates started, some of the Old World, the great apes started, somehow it dropped off through this mystery of evolution. Why do you think that happened, that the great apes like chimpanzee and human no longer had these theta defensins?
It's a wonderful question, and we've been speculating about this ever since their discovery. We certainly expected to find that humans and chimpanzees and other great apes, including gorillas, would in fact have theta defensins. We know that the genes that express them were functionally silenced at about the time that the orangutan, which is another ape, emerged. The answer is unknown. Our theory is that an ancestral primate was in an ecological niche where the expression of molecules such as theta defensins, which have immunomodulatory properties that actually suppress inflammation, was disadvantageous for that particular species or set of species, and there was an advantage to suppressing them or silencing them. What is interesting to us is that the current species of old world monkeys, which include the baboons and the macaques, express very high levels of these cyclic molecules today. And it was that discovery that suggested to us that potentially they could be used, these molecules could be used for addressing a modern human disease.
I see. Well, on your website, you have pictures before and after of mice that were inflicted with rheumatoid arthritis, and the after pictures after they've received your drug strategies. I mean, they're completely cleared up. When are human trials going to be beginning?
Actually, human trials have begun. Our first in human administrations of a version of theta defensin that was derived directly from the characterization of old world monkeys was administered to healthy human subject volunteers beginning in February, and we are just now completing the last set of administrations to those human subjects now. So the phase 1A study is nearing completion, and these are simply safety studies to demonstrate the safety profile of the formulated drug substance. And the next phase would be a phase 1B study in which we conduct similar studies in individuals who actually have RA.
That's so promising. So at Orin Therapeutics, you have synthesized or derived, or I don't know what term you would use, the theta defensin, and have created what I believe, correct me if I'm wrong on pronunciation, but an orenitide, you're calling it, that you are injecting into the host.
That is correct. And these are synthetic preparations with a novel formulation that allows the drug product to be effective at quite low doses. And our hope is that this will be a first-in-class drug for treating rheumatoid arthritis to complement some very effective drugs that are on the market now, but for which there's continuing need for those individuals who are unresponsive to those drugs or for some reason cannot tolerate them.
Right. It's my understanding that medications currently available for rheumatoid arthritis sort of relieve the symptoms, but also may not, as you say, they may not work at all in some patients.
That's correct. And individuals are highly variable in their response to small molecule drugs, which are called DMARDs, and then a variety of biologics, which really changed the way that rheumatoid arthritis could be treated over the last 15 or so years. Unfortunately, there are individuals who are inadequate responders to those drugs or have problematic side effects. So our goal is to introduce something that is actually a natural product, not produced in humans, but in our primate cousins, to see if those non-responders or potentially even in combination with existing drugs could have a better outcome.
And how stable are orenitides? How's their shelf life? The synthetic product, is it readily scaled?
Yes. We've produced over a kilogram of our lead orenitide. The material that we produced almost a decade ago has been unchanged, and in part this is primarily due to the the chemical structure of these molecules, the cyclic backbone, which is a unique feature of theta defensins and our synthetic derivatives, confers a extraordinary level of stability either on the shelf, to acidic conditions. We can store it as a powder or in solution, and it's turned out to be a really important feature in terms of being able to produce the molecule, have it long shelf life, and it's also allows it to be stable within the biological system, that is, the individuals that are actually receiving the drug product.
And many people are concerned, and they should be, about drug-resistant infections. How would Arenitides or maybe follow-on products be able to tackle those?
We used the theta defensin molecular template to engineer molecules that we predicted would be effective against multi-drug bacterial and fungal pathogens. Using sort of standard test tube methods, we identified a number of molecules, variants, if you will, of the theta defensin template, and generated novel structures, and then evaluated them in animal models against multi-drug pathogens. And these have given rise to a new class of molecules that are highly effective in animal models of infection. And a lead compound is actually being developed right now for a multi-drug resistant highly antibiotic resistant organisms that are causing infections that are often lethal. These are organisms known in widely as superbugs, mm-hmm. and these pathogenic organisms, which are extremely resistant to oftentimes as many as 20 antibiotics, are readily treated in rodent models of sepsis, and we're advancing a lead compound for gram-negative sepsis right now, hoping to take it into the clinic within the next 2 years.
Hmm. We know that from a recent interview, we learned that 75% of the autoimmune diseases are contracted by women, and autoimmune diseases are on the rise. Could you speak to, you know, the application of Arenitides in other autoimmune diseases like lupus and MS and is it inflammatory bowel syndrome, I believe, is also autoimmune disease?
Yes, we are inflammatory bowel diseases, which include Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, have a lot of similarity to the dysregulated inflammation that one sees in rheumatoid arthritis. And we have, over the last year and a half, been using a very robust model of ulcerative colitis in mice and have shown that some of the engineered analogs of theta defensins are highly effective in this mouse model. We'll be reporting this probably within the next several months. This suggests that the general approach of using molecules that are produced in old world monkeys and engineered analogs thereof could be very useful in as therapies for other autoimmune diseases. And our initial focus beyond RA is inflammatory bowel disease.
Mm. It's just fascinating work. Do you have competitors? Is there anyone else doing this type of work? The fact that you found these peptides in old world primates, just it sounds kind of random, I have to say, but a wonderful discovery.
I agree that it was random. One of the wonderful things about doing discovery science is if you pay attention, you'll find some really, really interesting things. I I expect that there are individuals that are using the notion of cyclic peptides for the purpose of drug development. And in that regard, I think there's a growing competitive landscape. The use of cyclic molecules such as theta defensins in a human disease, a truly backbone cyclized molecule, this is the first example of that, which has actually made its way into the clinic. I think it's likely that the success we're seeing right now will generate competition, and that'll be good for the public in general.
Dr. Selsted, could you define sepsis for us?
Yes, sepsis is a systemic inflammatory response that is typically induced by infection, but there are non-infectious induction causes of systemic inflammatory response syndrome. And this is basically a dysregulated inflammation, typically, that follows infection, and in many cases will resolve with supportive therapy and antibiotics. But in about a third of the patients who have severe sepsis, despite our best interventions, this will lead to shock and death. Mm-hmm. And as of today, there are no approved drugs specifically for treating sepsis. An extremely important and growing clinical need. I think there are many efforts among pharmaceutical companies to develop drugs for sepsis, but a number of those have failed. There's clearly a need, and we believe that the work that we're doing with gram-negative sepsis may lead to a new class of molecules that may find their way into the clinic. And again, we hope to be doing developing our first drug within a GLP animal testing facility within the next 2 years.
Wow. The third of people with sepsis whose organs maybe start to shut down and they would die, are the drug-resistant infections, is that part of one of your therapies? Do they die because infections that are not responding to today's antibiotics?
It's really a combination of two levels of pathology. One, the organism that does not respond to the drug, and often cases in these individuals with severe sepsis, they have actually cleared the organism, but now the immune system has been so hypercharged that it induces the ultimate disease state, which is multi-organ failure and then ultimately death, because of the overstimulation of the immune system. So being able to clear an organism is absolutely critical, but also to be able to identify very early on sepsis and severe sepsis and intervene is also critical. What we've discovered is that some of the molecules that we're studying actually augment the immune system and at the same time dampen the inflammatory processes that lead to multi-organ failure and death.
We're just about out of time, Dr. Selsted, but I'm curious, as you're talking, I'm picturing, well, unfortunately, I've heard of a lot of sepsis taking place or coming up in patients post-surgery where there's some kind of infection. And it would seem to me that this, the Arenatides could be injected prophylactically, really, if you're going to go into surgery, much like I know, you know, we all take antibiotics prophylactically if we're going to have undergo surgery.
Yes, I wouldn't want to speculate as to whether or not these molecules would be used prophylactically. There's a lot of debate about the use of prophylactic antibiotics in surgery, and it certainly depends on the surgical procedure. I think where the greatest opportunity for orenitides in the context of the post-surgical patient or hospitalized patient is the rapid response to any changes that would suggest that a patient is has sepsis, early sepsis, systemic inflammatory response syndrome. And in that setting, the ability to use a molecule that is helping the patient address any underlying infection and at the same time dampen that dysregulated inflammation that can lead to severe sepsis may be very useful.
And we are pretty much out of time, but I want to ask a quick question, if you could answer it for us. In the world of immunology, what one question would you like to have answered that has not been answered yet?
In the entire, I think one of the things that would be incredibly useful is to understand what predisposes some individuals to various autoimmune diseases, whereas others seem to be completely unaffected. This actually includes my own family, where my father, his sister, and one of his sister's daughters have an atypical form of rheumatoid arthritis. So there's clearly a genetic component there. Mm-hmm. Other members of the family do not have the manifestations of this odd form of RA. So there clearly is a genetic component, but I believe that there's also very important environmental factors, and the combination of genes and environment in combination would be very important to understand so that we can eliminate certainly the environmental factors for those individuals who are susceptible.
Dr. Michael Selsted, he's the Chief Science Officer for Orin Therapeutics and the professor and chair of the Department of Pathology at the Keck School of Medicine, USC. Dr. Selsted, we want to thank you for being on the program, and we wish you the very best of continued success with your products.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.